And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got a text from Michael from Mariana, by the way, with regards to the hostages and the Americans being held. He says they don't have a WNBA player. I know exactly what he's saying. Brittany Griner, the female WNBA player, who got taken in, taken prisoner in Russia. Yeah. Next thing you know, we're leaving other people there to make sure we get her out because, you know, wow, just, I mean, you got a gay minority figure, basketball player. That looks great for the base. Get her out first. And so anyway, I hear what you're saying. All right, let's talk for a minute here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have Caroline Dobson on. She is the GOP candidate for the brand spanking new Congressional District 2. Y'all, I cannot begin to describe to you how important the down ballot races are. I mean, it is so easy for us to go, you know, Trump, Biden, Biden, Trump, Trump, Biden. And then, you know, another year as we talk about who's running for governor. Here's the deal, folks. With the three branches of government, we've got two of them at the federal level that are elected. But even still, who you put into the U.S. Senate are the ones that do the confirmations processes for the ones who are in the executive branch doing the nominating for the Supreme Court justices. Those are huge deals right now. Now, I could talk about everything being important all the way down to who's the dog catcher in your community. I mean, I know of situations where offices that you never think of before, like county coroner, where someone was indicted for corruption because they were stealing from the dead people's houses where they were going to verify their death. I mean, you can really have the wrong people in any office and screw things up. But let me just focus on one. Let's talk about the legislative branch in D.C. We have got to get back the House and Senate. Now, for those of y'all that want to jump in and go, Phil, Trump had the House and Senate for a period of time and we didn't get enough done. You got a lot done. You got a lot done. Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather him just not have the House and Senate? Does that make it better? No. If you're going to go ahead and bring up the past and go, we didn't get enough done then, and that's your excuse for not worrying about it now, that's like just, you know, self-flagellation there. There's nothing to that argument. We absolutely have to have all of the above. Now, I'll take some before none, yes. So, like, I would absolutely prefer to have a Trump administration in there as opposed to a Biden administration. Can't possibly stand another 4 years of what we're looking at. As a conservative talk show guy, I can be honest with you, if Biden got elected, I would have a target-rich environment to work with for 4 more years. But I don't want that. I don't want it so that I can have things talk about on my show. I'd much rather talk about, remember back when Biden used to be here, how good it is now? I'd much rather be in that spot. However, for a minute here, let's talk about the down ballot races. Because people oftentimes get lost in the weeds about what is happening with races. And sometimes they also get so focused on just where they live, they forget that other races may need their attention. If you remember, we had John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, on most recently. I think it was last week he was on. And we had him on to talk about a variety of things. But one of the things he said was, we will once again be taking people from Alabama, where we feel fairly secure about the vote, and taking them to other states to, you know, basically be a part of campaigns. There's that. Then you've got, if you live in North Alabama, if you're in this listening area, the southern edges of my listening area are in what is now known as Congressional District 2. We run the risk of that having been a Republican-held seat for many years going to a Democrat because the court redrew the lines. And we are stuck with it for now. Caroline Dobson is running a solid race. She beat a longtime friend of mine, Dick Brubaker. I love Dick Brubaker. And to be honest with you, I Caroline Dobson is a good candidate. I feel very confident in who she is. I have no reason not to. We need her to win that race. So if you live in North Alabama and you're thinking, what can I do to help? How can I? And you think, okay, I live in Adderholtz district or I live in Mike Rogers district and they're not going to face any competition, really. You might want to go south and knock doors or run phones or something for a day or three for Caroline Dobson. Or you might look at it and go, you know what? I've got friends with a house in Montana. I'm going to take some time, go out to Montana and work for that guy, that former Navy SEAL guy. What's his name? Shahi. I'm going to go up there and help Shahi. Or you like Kerry Lake out in Arizona. Just know this. They will take you in a heartbeat and put you to work. And especially if you go through your state party. If your state party calls ahead and said, we've got five people that want to come knock on doors. Send them. That's amazing. Those down ballot races, I can't say enough about them. Let's take a look at a few. I mentioned one a moment ago. Let me just bring it up now. So there are some races right now that are leaning or toss-ups. So the way they rate these things is they call it, they'll call it toss-up, meaning we don't know. They'll say lean Democrat or lean Republican, which means the race is leaning that way, but it's within the margin of error and they can't be sure. And then they'll call it, you know, like firm or confident or, you know, basically it's going to be a Republican or Democrat and they already got it locked in. So Republican U.S. Senate candidate, according to 2news.com out in Montana, U.S. Senate candidate Tim Shahi embraced his status as an outsider who came to Montana to start his business. And he fought to fend off concerns over wealthy newcomers driving up property taxes and yada, yada, yada. The bottom line is this. Tim Shahi is a former Navy SEAL who served admirably for a number of years. He's 37 years old now. He went home and he started a business, and I believe it's an aerospace company, and he is now basically rocking it. John Tester is the Democrat incumbent in that race. John Tester is considered to be one of the most vulnerable Democrats on the ballot right now. His unfavorables are strong enough at home to where he's considered lean. Shahi is considered strong enough to make him worry. And as we speak, that race right now, we only need a couple of seats to gain the majority in the U.S. Senate. A couple. It's actually a very difficult year for incumbent Democrats in the Senate right now. But Tim Shahi's making it even tougher for him. And I like that. So if you want to go fight for a Navy SEAL, just know this. Shahi's doing everything he can to lump in Tester with Joe Biden. Widespread public dissatisfaction about the administration's struggles to stem illegal immigration and all the things you can imagine. But he's fighting to gain a seat that could give us the potential for a majority in the Senate. Tim Shahi, that's a race to watch, in my opinion, out in Montana. By the way, I love Montana. You ever been to Montana? You ever play gigs up there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful state, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's like when they call it big sky country, it just is. It's like you can see the blue sky forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spent some time training in Montana around Helena, and just a gorgeous state.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that I'm leaving Alabama, but if I had a second place to go to, it'd probably be Montana. Here's another one. Larry Hogan. Yes, I know he's a centrist. Yes, he's a moderate Republican. Very much so. He's also not much of a Trump fan. Guess what? He may be a moderate, but he's our moderate. Just saying. But he's in Maryland. He's the former governor of Maryland. He governed as a Republican in what is known to be a fairly deep blue state. And right now, he is running a pretty solid race for the U.S. Senate against a guy named Alsobrooks, Democrat Angela Alsobrooks. So Hogan is now the official Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. Moderate guy? Yeah, I know. So here's the thing. You may think, all right, I can't support a moderate. Would you rather have the Democrat? That's where we have to be on some of this. I am not advocating for watering down standards. That was for the primary. Now we're in the general. In the primary is where you get to pick the kind of Republican you want. Once the votes are in on the primary and you've got a Republican and a Democrat and maybe a independent or a Green Party or whatever, that's when you say, okay, this is the one I've got. Well, we may not vote in Maryland, but you can help in Maryland. So right now, Larry Hogan, if you're a moderate, which I think most of my audience is not, most of us are like super conservative, You're more like Tim Shahey, Montana kind of people, Kerry Lake, Arizona kind of people. But for right now, we're looking at the balance of the power in the Senate is potentially tipping, and Larry Hogan, down ballot, former Republican governor in Maryland, he's got name ID, he's got the ability to take it all the way. I don't think that he would be too much of an issue in the Senate. I think he might oppose some of the more conservative things that would try to happen, but the reality is he'll oppose a whole lot less than the Democrat Alsobrooks would. All right, what other races do we have? So let me just tell you, in a minute when I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about Kerry Lake. This race is interesting out now. So right now I've got a liberal piece from Roll Call. It's liberal. I know it's liberal. I'm reading it from a Phil, did you go to Roll Call? I did. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about that one, Texas, Louisiana, and then we're going to talk to Caroline Dobson, Alabama District 2, down yonder in the Montgomery area. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Giving you all the truth to put on a bumper sticker. I got some text messages I'll jump on here. Oh, look, Mike from Huntsville, our resident hater. By the way, at least he listens to the show. Mike from Huntsville says, so you're a veteran that supports Trump? Are you a sucker or a loser? Republicans have no scruples. Oh, we got the good laughter off of that one. Oh, Mike, there's a cure for your ails, man. It's called Election Day, and I have a feeling you're going down, brother. Come back to the fold. Gary from Decatur says, for all those who say Trump had both houses for a while and didn't get enough done, I'll only say this. Collins, Murkowski, Romney, McCain, Graham, McConnell, Ryan, McCarthy, and Buck. Yep, there they are. There's the motley crew. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate you listing the names because you are so right, man. Of course, you know, I look at those and you got a few of them that are no longer there. And we'll just see how it plays out. Some of those, too, by the way, I think they thought Trump was a fluke. You know, I think they thought they could get rid of Trump. I remember back when the Republicans took the Alabama State House in 2010. And for the first 4 years, it was like madness. We were constantly dealing with the teachers union. We were constantly dealing with, and then the second 4 years it calmed down. And I told somebody, I said, I think they thought we were a fluke. I think they thought they'd just take it back right away. No big deal. We'll get it back next election. Let's make their life miserable. And it didn't work. And I think some of these, like if you notice, Lindsey Graham's all about Trump now. You know, some of these folks have resigned. Some have retired. Some have moved on their way. I think that it could potentially be a much more conducive environment to getting something done with a second round of Trump. Ken from Rimlap said, Trump was fighting a war on two fronts. He tried to get things done. His own party was part of the problem. We need unity in Washington. At the very least, we need unity in our own party. How about that? Anyway, Scott from Somerville said, it was hard for President Trump to get much done when his own party fought him at every step. So if he got anything done, that was amazing. We got the Trump tax cuts. We had the military in a much better position. We were respected on the world stage. We had the Abraham Accords bringing peace to the Middle East. We had some amazing things that really happened. And oh, by the way, do not ever take for granted the fact that the court system, to include the Supreme Court of the United States, had nominees that were appointed under the Trump administration that have changed the dynamic of where we stand for conservative values in the legal system. Pastor Barnes from Hartsell says, Phil, why isn't evil, hashtag evil incompetent Joe Biden, that's a hashtag, evil incompetent, hashtag evil incompetent Joe Biden, or his wonderful Secretary of Homeland Security having something to say about all the Russian warships in Cuba? Pastor Barnes, I'm not even talking about that, so I don't know how to answer your question, but thank you for the YouTube connection, and when I have time, I'll take a look at it. Missy from Fayetteville, I got your comparison. The basketball player arrested for drugs by Russia. It was an everyday story, probably because LGBTQ stuff, although it's a man. So we don't even know the names of the hostages. We do know the names of the hostages in Israel. I've got them right here in my stack of resources for that dipper. All right, let's talk about down ballot races. Going back to this thing, and by the way, coming up in a few minutes, we'll take the break at the top of the hour. We'll come back with Caroline Dobson, who's running for Congress to represent you as a part of the U.S. delegation for the state of Alabama. So right now we're looking at several things that are happening. One of the races that has gotten a lot of attention is Kerry Lake. A lot of folks remember Kerry Lake when she was running for governor, and she lost, by the way, to Katie Hobbs, a liberal Democrat who ran a very tepid campaign. Arizona is a purple state. But Katie Hobbs is back now running for U.S. Senate. She has the name ID. Unfortunately, she also has some unfavorables because people know her name, and those who already didn't like her remember they didn't like her. But she's been running a solid race against a guy named Ruben Gallego, who's a Democrat congressman, who does not have a lot of name ID statewide. But right now, if you look at Roll Call, rollcall.com, somewhat of a liberal piece written on this thing, they're saying that Joe Biden's mediocre polling numbers have got Trump up in Arizona 49 to 42, but the same poll showed Ruben Gallego leading Kerry Lake 45-41. What that tells me is you've got a lot of independents who don't care about party who are going to vote for who they like best. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that that means that you're not as reliant upon the true base. So right now, Kerry Lake, who's a decided conservative and very much a Trump-endorsed conservative, is dealing with one poll showing that while Trump's ahead in that poll, that she's down in that poll. However, she's down by the margin of error. Margin of error means if they say the poll shows you at, you know, 52-48 with a four-point margin of error, that means it could go 4 points either way based upon the dynamics of the race and the calculations they used, which means that 52-48 would still be within the margin of error. In this case, I do believe she's just about the margin of error, not quite. That being said, we got right now, we got about a half dozen opportunities to take over. We got swing races right now in Ohio, Montana, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Maryland. And those races, though, are likely considered more favorable. They lean more. And these polls come out. Sometimes these polls are done, and I believe they're skewed, for the sole purpose of scaring away donors who then decide to put their money into some other race. Well, right now what we're looking at is Ohio, Montana, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Maryland, and I would suggest even Arizona. And in the House, I would say Alabama could go somewhere that is going to have resources. In Texas, you got a situation. Last minute here for the break. In Texas, you got a situation where you got Henry Cuellar, longtime Democrat congressman, just indicted on bribery charges. Suddenly his seat's in play. And he's got a retired Navy guy named Jay Furman, who's probably going to win the runoff and be the guy against him for the Republican Party. And then in Louisiana, Louisiana is anybody's guess. Right now, you've got a guy named, you've got a Republican who's running in a seat that has just been redrawn by the courts. Everybody knows it's drawn favorable to Democrats, but the three-judge panel just threw out the map. And so right now, we're questioning what district are they even running for over there right now? We don't know. We don't know. It's crazy. But the bottom line is Louisiana could have a House seat in play. Y'all, the margins are so narrow right now that every down-ballot race matters. And coming up next, you're about to hear from Caroline Dobson, Alabama, Congressional District 2, the brand new District 2. And she is fighting to keep a seat out of the hands of a Democrat. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Monday. And I've been talking about what I call the down ballot races. We've got to make sure that we keep our eyes on the prize. And it's not just the top of the ticket. It's not just the Trump Biden competition that we've got to pay attention to. We've got to make sure that we are watching like a hawk for the House and Senate races that are going on. Because if Trump wins the election, which I believe he will, and he can't get the House and the Senate help he needs to get the agenda pass, it's going to be a whole lot harder to right the ship. That being said, one of the races that's considered to be very key to this overall is Alabama's new Congressional District 2. So the person who is running as the Republican in that is on the phone with us right now. Caroline Dobson is a Montgomery attorney. She's a Republican. She's facing off against Shamari Figures, who is a longtime Democrat, used to work in the Obama administration. And I'm going to bring her on right now and let her tell us all about her race. Caroline Dobson, how are you?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks so much for having me today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, listen, I think the last time you were on, we were actually still finishing up the primary or perhaps the runoff, and you are the candidate all the way to the general election. How do you feel, and where are we right now?
Yes, well, I'm very humbled. I'm very excited to be the Republican nominee. And I really feel two responsibilities. First and foremost, to fight hard to win this race, to advocate for the folks in District 2, folks that are hardworking and God-fearing and concerned about where this country is headed. And then an equally important obligation to fight the fight and win the race for the future of America. And I know that sounds dramatic, but it's highly possible that this race here in District 2 could determine who controls the House. And as you were just saying, you know, there are implications on America for years to come. Of course, we've got to get Trump back in the White House. Of course, we've got to gain control of the Senate. But if we do those two things and still lose control of the House, we will not be able to reverse all the harm that the Biden administration has done to this country in such a short time.
No, it's one of those epic level responsibilities to finish this race strong and to win. And Shamari Figures is an extreme liberal. He worked in the Obama administration. His mother has been a liberal member of the Alabama State Senate for many years. I know her personally. I worked with her when I was down there. Now, listen, let's go ahead and describe your district a little bit, because the tail end of what I would call the listening area for Right Side Radio comes into the northern portion of your district. But tell everybody where your district lies.
Yes. So it is part of Mobile up to Montgomery, from Mississippi to Georgia. But, county by county, I'll try to do an abbreviated young boozer listing, quite as glib as he is. But all of Washington County, a large part of Mobile County, so all of downtown Spring Hill, Tillman's Corner, part of West Mobile, Pritchard, Sims, Citronelle, Chonchula, and then the southern third of Clark County, so South Jackson and points further south, all of Monroe County, Conecuh, Butler, Pike, Crenshaw, Montgomery, Bullock, Macon, Russell, and Barber County.
Man. All right. So one of the most important things I heard is Conecuh sausage comes from your district.
That is right. And I'm very grateful to have Mr. Sessions, John Crum Sessions, has been a supporter. I'm very, very grateful to him. Again, a lot of things to be proud of in this district, and a lot of Alabama history in this district.
Yeah,
it includes the first state capitol, St. Stephens, the current state capitol, Montgomery. A lot of wonderful folks are from icons in Alabama history. Rosa Parks, Hank Williams, they're all from this district. So I'm really enjoyed getting to spend time in communities I'd never been to before, but heard about, for example, Clio, and meet with people that I would have never gotten to meet before. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity and truly inspired and motivated every day to work hard to advocate for the people in this district.
Well, I think your district, and by the way, your district was not drawn in what I would call a favorable sense for Republicans, generally speaking. But at the same time, the indications are this is a very winnable race for you. You got some national attention. I saw most recently story on 1819 News was that EPAC, which is run by Elise Stefanik out of New York, has endorsed you and said they intend to help you fight for this race. And one of the things that Lisa Stefanik said was, this is a sleeper race you guys aren't paying attention to. She's going to win that race. It must be nice hearing that.
Yes.
From a national level.
It is. I'm so grateful to have role models like Congresswoman Stefanik, of course, like Senator Britt, who's also been incredibly supportive. Women who are moms, who have school-aged kids, who are also working incredibly hard to try to save this country. And that's where I'm actually headed up to D.C. this evening. Congresswoman Stefanik has a press conference in conjunction with her endorsement tomorrow that I'm really excited to take part in. But, she's also represents a pretty moderate kind of purple district in New York. So I'm also grateful kind of for her advice in running in a purple district, because that's what District 2 is. I think the message of really fighting for safer communities and more opportunities for our kids will resonate with folks, who may not even consider themselves Republican, but certainly feel abandoned by the Democrat Party, considering just how far left it's gone.
Yeah,
you know, I know a lot of church going, God fearing Democrats who were shocked and considered the Transgender Day announcement on Easter just a huge slap in the face, and that's just one example. Again, of just how far left the Democrat leadership has taken the party.
So, and I completely agree. If nothing else, it gives me a lot of cannon fodder for my show. But let me ask you this though. So you get to, and I may have asked you this last time you were on the air, but you get to D.C. You've got a background. You practice law, but if I'm not mistaken, you grew up in like a farm community or in some type of a agribusiness type setting with your family. So what kind of things about you do you want to take to DC? Like, what committee assignments would you be looking for to do work on behalf of the state?
Well, you know, I'm open to being on the committee, and I want to be on the committees that best serve the needs of this district. So, and again, given my background, growing up on a farm, obviously interested in ag. As a real estate attorney, real estate and financial services attorney, certainly. Interested in financial services, but also, you know, the defense industry is such an important part. Defense industry and Maxwell Air Force Base, Air National Guard, Coast Guard, Yonemobile. So armed services would also be of interest. Of course, who isn't interested in serving on appropriations? I don't know that would be an option for a freshman congressman. And then also, I've also heard that kind of to use the term sleeper again, sort of a sleeper assignment, but one with opportunity certainly is a small business, because you can really kind of focus on sort of whatever is your kind of passion area and have some flexibility there. There are so many small business owners in this district. And for me, one of the motivations for me running is just the excess of the executive branch under the Biden administration, and trying to codify some regulatory protections that decrease the agency state, create some consistency for business owners, and some protections for individual citizens. Because I think we may have talked about it the last time I was on, but the fact that there aren't standardized rules of evidence for agency investigations, the fact that there isn't a standardized burden of proof if you're investigated by the IRS versus right. if you're investigated by OSHA. It's far more likely that you and I, as private citizens, as business owners, become the subject of an agency investigation because it's alleged that we didn't, fill out some form or follow some rule that they say applied. We're far more likely to be in that situation than we are to be, alleged of a felony. And yet a felon has more rights in a court of law than the private citizen or small business owner does, depending on which agency is investigating them. And we have to, in order to ensure that our small businesses can, and large businesses too, can thrive and continue to grow, we've got to have checks on the executive branch, again, consistency in agency investigations, and also so much more transparency in the rulemaking process. We see the Biden administration just issuing out rules at rapid pace that are impacting businesses from nursing homes to construction companies all throughout this district, and it's having a crippling effect on opportunity and growth.
Well, all of that. But listen, there's any number of places where you could serve and fit in. The main thing we got to do is get you there. If folks are living in North Alabama, if somebody lives in Huntsville and they're like, I've got time on my hands, what does she need? I'll go do it. What would you say to that? Is there a way to plug into the campaign and do some work?
Absolutely. And I've been so grateful and again, so humbled by folks from Decatur all the way down to Enterprise who have reached out wanting to help. It's not very common for Alabama to have a contested general election. And I think that excites some people. And I'm grateful for that. We have a website, www.dobson, D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N, for F-O-R, congress.com. And that has a form you can fill out if you, you know, would like to help. Right now, we're trying to get voters registered. Something that Republicans running in old District 1 and old District 2, which make up this new district, haven't had to do for a long time. Yeah. But again, I think something that will have positive ramifications when it comes to countywide elections, to state legislature elections for years to come. If we get not only existing Republicans motivated and engaged, but again, also get new Republicans registered, that's going to be huge. And then, of course, always financial support is appreciated. That's one of the metrics for the degree to which the RNC decides to play in this race is, you know, of course, fundraising reports. And also, you know, I will say, you know, the Democrats are going to be throwing a lot of money at this race. And there's no replacing hard work. And I know that I will outwork my opponent. I did in the primary. But at the same time, again, I think there are bottomless pockets on the left that are going to be trying to fund this race and all the other swing races throughout the state. So, of course, you know, money always helps.
I know that for a fact, even just from my limited exposure working in the state legislative races. But listen, Caroline, we're about out of time, but I will just say, and you mentioned it a moment ago, Alabamians aren't used to having contested races for Congress, and especially for Congress. But we've been a red state for a long time. And I've said on this show multiple times that while I don't want to see the Democrat Party strengthened, that we can also run the risk of getting lazy and content if we don't have the occasional challenge to rise to. Your race is certainly one of those. So we wish you the best, and we want to stay in touch between now and the general. And we'll just take it all the way to the end. All right.
That sounds great. And hopefully next time in person. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Caroline Dobson. Running for Congress for Congressional District 2. Listen, you know anybody in those counties? I'm just telling you, tell them to get ready, because this is not a lazy race. This is one where a guy named Shamari Figures, who's a longtime Obama administration Democrat, a super Democrat, basically, uber liberal. I mean, put him on par with like Randall Woodfin, mayor of Birmingham, and all the rest of them. He is an uber liberal Democrat who would love nothing more than to take our longtime 6-1 majority Alabama delegation in Congress and change it to a 5-2. And we don't need that. Not at all. All right, let's take a break there, Big Rig. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.